One of the growth signs in your faith journey will be where you realize when you're tasting eternity a little bit. The way Scripture puts it is we have these deposits of the Holy Spirit, down payments of what is to come. And one of the signs that you have this deposit of heaven and eternity in you and you taste it is how you feel when you experience generosity. Generosity is that moment where we get to feel what heaven's going to be like. In heaven, we're not going to be gorging ourselves. In heaven, the Scriptures say His servants will serve Him. In that reality, there's going to be unhindered generosity exchange, mutual exchange going on. And so as we do this, remember, this is a taste of eternity, okay? This is a taste of eternity. Now, most of us are using the electronic means to express our commitment to the Church of Jesus Christ. And so right now, get out your PushPay app and do what you have to do to say, yeah, I want to taste a little bit of what heaven's going to be. And that is no fear zone. No fear zone. I want to be generous. So we're going to take up offering right now. While we're doing that, a couple of things. One is the Christmas drive-in is December 9th at 3:30, and you can come with your family, and we usually get a ton of people at this. How the Grinch Stole Christmas will be the movie this year. The Jim Carrey version, obviously that green makeup went to his brain and caused some things to go on there. But please RSVP the website if you're going to be coming to that December 9th. Also, very excited to announce, unexpected tickets are available November 20th at noon. And so you can go to unexpectedshow.com and begin reserving your tickets. Okay, and you'll have all the show times there. We're very excited about the unexpected journey with Gabriel this year at Christmas. Next weekend, we start a new Christmas series called The Beholders. Over 1,200 times in Scripture, the word behold is used. Behold, most definitively by the angels and most memorably at Christmas. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And we're going to start next weekend with our Christmas series on Thanksgiving weekend. Some of you have been doing Christmas songs for 3 weeks anyway, so why not get started on Christmas series, right? Yeah. There's no other way to say this. When Jesus gets to the end of the most famous sermon in history, He gets real direct. Which is it going to be? Are you going to live your life going through the narrow gate that leads to freedom? Or are you going to go your own way in the broad gate that leads to a narrowed life? Which is it going to be? Are you going to be the good tree that bears good fruit, He says at the end? Or are you going to be the tree that's rotting, that bears fruit of ego and fear and pride and self-centeredness? Is it going to be the good fruit tree of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Or is it going to be the tree of self that has an expiration date on its fruitfulness? That's what He says. He gets to the end, He says, you have a decision to make. Either you put full confidence in My words or you don't. And the last decision He lands in their lap these famous words. You know them if you've been at church very few times in your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of Mine and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But, He says, everyone who hears these words of Mine and does not put them into practice, hold on to that, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And with that, Jesus dropped the mic. And when He had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who was legit. Had authority. In other words, intrinsic authority. Not because of a title or a robe, but because of authority, and not as their teachers of the law. He gets to the end and he says, listen, there are two invariables in life. Everybody is in a building project. Every single person in this room is building a life, is building a soul, and no one else is responsible for your building project but you. Not your parents, not your spouse, not your small group, not your church, not your neighbors, not your friends. No one is responsible for you but you. Everybody here is building a soul, is building a life. And the second invariable is everybody here is going to face storms. Everybody is going to face storms. No one, because of intellect or wealth or accomplishment, lives in a storm-free zone. And the ultimate, of course, storm is death. None of us here has experienced that. No, there are no Lazaruses in the room. So none of us knows what that storm is really going to be like. We have understandings, but we don't know that's really going to be like. And someday, he says, the storm is going to come. Have you built your life with the kind of substances and materials that are eternally strong? Well, he says, if you build your life on my words, you can trust that your life is going to be made of eternal stuff. No matter what comes your way, your house won't fall. But he says, some people, it is more expedient to build their life on the sands of human wisdom. Why would we do that? Why would anyone build their house on sand when they could build their house on rock? It's because to dredge all the materials up farther from the beach took more work. It was less convenient to just build it there on the beach. But it also had long-term implications that the person of expedience didn't see. And some people try to go that easy way out. This is the same thing he was saying with the narrow gate. You start your life with the narrowness of my life and my devotion to the Father, and I will broaden your life out. You will not believe how broadly I make your life expand and influence and impact and flourish. So which is it going to be, he says. Which is it going to be? Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice. Let me be very clear here, friends. Jesus never asked someone to be a Christian. If by Christian we mean someone who got barcoded in, right? So if you're approaching baptism tonight like, okay, now I'm barcoded in. I've got the fire coverage forever. That would be great that you have assurance, but that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to make disciples. Disciples are learners, apprentices, who say, you're my rabbi, I hear what you say, and I put that into practice. Believe it or not, Jesus believed that you could learn to do everything he taught you to do. He believed that. And faith in him is when you have full confidence in him to the degree that you are fully surrendered to him. Let me be very clear on this, friends. Everybody here is a disciple of someone or something. Everybody here is learning something. You're following someone's pattern. You're either doing it consciously or unconsciously. It may be through a podcast. It may be through a celebrity's tweets. It may be through books. Everybody here is a disciple of somebody. And Jesus said, you'd be very smart if you become a learner of the way I did life, because the way I did life is I mastered life, and I'll show you I'll master death, the biggest storm. Let's say that you're a tech geek and you're an Apple fan, and you get hired at Apple back in the early 2000s. And Steve Jobs not only is a brilliant creative, he also is someone who's taken interest in you. And he's the one who recruited you. He said, I want her on our team. And he recruits you to be on this team. And he says, we have this development, this thing that we're going to bring from the realm of imagination into reality. And that is, we're going to make this thing, we're going to call it an iPhone. And I want you to be on my team. And I'm going to personally invest in you. And what if you said, well, I'd love to be on your team. I want to get a paycheck. And I want to have some contributorship to the iPhone when it comes out, because it's going to be awesome. But I don't want you telling me what to do. I want to be able to do my own thing. I mean, I want the paycheck that says Apple Corporation, but don't tell me how to do my job. Don't train me in these skills because I want to do my own thing. How long would you have lasted at Apple? About as much time as it took for those words to get from your mouth to his ears. Let's say that you are drafted by maybe the best coach in the world. You're a football player, and you're drafted by maybe the best coach of all time, Bill Belichick, who's been the coach of the Cleveland Browns since 1994. And he drafts you, and he says, I want you on the team. And you say, I want to be on the team. I want to wear the orange and brown. I want to be a part of those 5 Super Bowls that you won in the last 20 years with the Cleveland Browns. And I want to get the banner, and I want to get all the accolades. I want to be a part of the parades downtown Cleveland. And Bill says, good, I've got these training ideas for you. I've got these fundamentals I want you to master. You say, no. I want to do what you tell me to do. But I want to be a member of the Cleveland. I want to be a member of the team, but I don't want to be. No. You don't understand. You're not going to tell me what to do. I want to be able to do what I want to do. Can you imagine standing before Jesus someday and saying, well, I wanted the benefits, but I didn't want you to tell me what to do. You see, that's not faith. Faith is when you have full confidence in Jesus, that he is the master of life and death. I had a Christian tell me one time, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe he knew everything about life. That's not faith, friends. I think that person's going to heaven. That's not where Jesus won't kick you off the team, okay? But faith is full surrender in Jesus and a full desire to do everything he said to do. Selective obedience will bring with it half-hearted surrender, desire to do what he said to do. Like, I'm kind of half in. There is a saying in the big book of AA that says, half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We ask his protection and care with complete abandon. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And this is the tone of Jesus at the end. You got to decide. Everybody here has a building project. Everybody here is going to face storms that are too big for them. He says, John 8:31-32, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Like, you know when you're a learner, don't you? You know. You know when you're a disciple of something. Right? You hold to my teaching. In other words, what you do is you pour your life into the 4 Gospels and Christ followers who are ahead of you on your journey. They're Jesus' assistant coaches. And you say, you know, I want to learn the way, the unforced rhythms of Christ and his grace and his way of doing things to the degree that a person could choose to go to a cross. I want to master life and death like that. He says, you really are my disciples. And you know when you're a learner of something. How many of you learned how to play the piano? You knew, you're right? You knew when you were one of the... How many of you are brain surgeons? How many of you stayed at a Holiday Inn last night? No, if you were going to be a brain surgeon, you would know. You would know. I'm a brain surgeon. I know. Why? Our son-in-law, Chip Beal, just graduated from OSU Veterinary School last May. And it was so amazing watching him, his 4 years in this training. We would go over to Columbus every Friday. And never once did this come up. Hey, Chip, are you learning how to be a veterinarian? And Chip go, well, I'm not sure. I'm just here in Columbus. I'm kind of drifting. No, you know when you're a learner about something. You know. And this is what a disciple is someone who says, I'm a learner of Jesus. By the way, you can be a bad disciple. You know why? And Jesus won't get upset. Do you know that? People think, well, this is for the people who are really Christian. But I'm not very good at being a Christian, so this is... No. You can be a bad disciple. You can be bad at discipling, and he won't throw you off the team. You know why I know? It's because the early disciples were terrible at it. I mean, terrible. How long should I put up with you? Oh, you of little faith. They were terrible at it. But they grew, and you will know the truth. That's a process of knowing, and the truth will set you free. Let there be no mistake, friends. The offer Jesus gave was this offer, where people who, after he got done speaking, What Matthew is telling us with those commentary words is this: some people's hearts were beating faster as they began to think, this is it. This is what I've waited for my whole life. To live with the awareness that I am cleansed from all my sin and regret perpetually. That heaven is reserved for me, not just when I die, but it's come to me now. And that I don't have to live under the controlling power of anger and lust and manipulation and approval addiction and worry and greed and controlling other people. I don't have to live with that. This is it. I would rather lose everything this world has to give if it means getting this man and what he's offering rather than getting this man last. Getting everything this world has to offer but missing what this man is ready to give me. Whose disciple am I going to be? I have decided to follow Jesus. Not a system. Not a set of beliefs, not a code. Those of you tonight who are going to immerse yourself by going through that narrow gate of those stairs into this life of immersed with heaven's reality, you may be bad at doing it. If you're like me, you're a slow learner. You may be bad as it when you come out of the waters you were when you went into it. Jesus doesn't care if you're a bad disciple. He just cares, are you a disciple? Do you have full confidence in Him that He has mastered life and death, and that when you follow Him, you have access to the heavens? From here on out, you have access to the heavens. For you, kingdom has come. Kingdom has come. And you can pray this prayer tonight in your baptism. My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your reality, your character. I set it apart. May right now, out in that atrium, your kingdom, your rule, that's what that means, your effective rule come into my life as I enter the narrow gate of Christian baptism. May your will be done wherever I walk the earth as it is in heaven. Give me today what I need. I trust that you will. Lead me through trials and away from the evil one. I trust that you will. Make me a gracious person as you've extended grace to me. And now I live in that reality every day that all my regrets are washed away because it is your kingdom, it is your power, it is your glory that I want for the rest of my being, for the rest of my life, forever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then more forevers. And everybody said, amen. Let's go out into the atrium and let's celebrate baptism, everyone. If you're going to get baptized tonight, go into the information counter if you haven't checked in. If you made the decision right now to be baptized, go to the information counter. We'll check you in. We'll take you every step away. Let's go to the atrium and celebrate Christian baptism tonight.